Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, so what happens when you invite about 165 pastors to come see something that every pastor in America, I mean an actual pastor, a pastor that actually believes in the Word of God and has the backbone to preach it, and all of a sudden you have something like Unplanned come out, right, coming out on March 29th, the most prolific pro-life movie ever produced that's going on to the big screen and goes right at the throat of Planned Parenthood and literally opens the casket on abortion like they did with Emmett Till, Emmett Till's mom did back in the late 1950s, which later inspired a little old lady named Rosa Parks to not give up her seat in the front of the bus, which then led to the entire civil rights movement, which then led to the civil rights agenda and passage of the laws and desegregation and all the other stuff. But no, we don't want to bother making people upset. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to give up the seat that we're supposed to sit in our complacency and apathy in the church. And so you invite, and I'm just, listen, I'm just bearing my soul here. I invited over and over again, probably about 165 pastors, and eight showed up. Because who in the world wants to deal? And praise the Lord for the ones that were there. And we had lots of pro-life workers there last night. A huge praise. Every crisis pregnancy center in the Triangle area where I live, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, they were all represented there last night. Sidewalk workers, sidewalk counselors, people that are in the game and in the fight and on the front lines were there. But where were the pastors? And listen, this is don't think that, wow, your market's really screwed up, Steve. No, this is just the norm. This is the issue that people don't want to talk about. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to go near it. And then, of course, anybody that's worth their salt as a follower of Christ and knows the scriptures at all should be ardently pro-life. That should be a default no-brainer position, right? And so last night, I mean, I feel like I need to apologize every time doing one of these screenings because it is so heavy. It is so dark. It is so difficult to watch a little baby squirming on the screen in an ultrasound. And you know, they reproduced it. It's not the actual one. But this is what happens. And a little baby squirming at about 10 weeks. I think the one in the movie was like 14 weeks, 12 weeks, somewhere around there. Heartbeat, arms, legs, fingers, toes, eyes, brain, the whole nine. Squirming to get away from the catheter, which is just the suction tube. And then the abortionist, this is early in the movie. Who is played by Dr. Leventino, a former abortionist who was on this show 2 weeks ago, before he turns the machine on, says, "Beam me up, Scotty." And that's how dark and depraved and disgusting the abortion industry is. That's how turned over it is. That's what is going on inside Planned Parenthood clinics. And you watch this and people over there go, surely Planned Parenthood can't be that callous. Are you kidding me? They kill 347,000 babies a year. They make hundreds of millions of dollars. They get $500 million from the U.S. government. Of course they're that given over. You want to know what Romans looks like in practice? Go see the movie. You'll see it. And people weeping during the show, and it's like one gut punch after another, and you feel it in the room. People are just getting rocked. It's so difficult to see it, but dang, that's what needs to happen. And so you invite 165 pastors out, plead with them to come see the most important pro-life movie that's pretty much been the only one that's hit the big screen that goes right at Planned Parenthood and opens up the casket on abortion, and eight of them show up. And God bless you, the ones that were there and everybody else that was there last night. We're going to be in the Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point area of North Carolina tomorrow night. And so for every pastor, God bless you, that shows up. And for all the ones that glance over it and blow by the invitation and, oh, it's just another Christian movie, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Shame on you. And obviously, I'm a little torqued off. And I've been playing this game since 2004. And it was difficult. We have 1,400, what I would call decent churches in the Triangle area. And again, I'm picking on my own market because this is where I live. 1,400 Triangle churches, and we had about 200 of them get involved with a large evangelistic outreach, which was a crusade event with Pastor Greg Laurie back in 2007. And we had about 200 actually get involved. And of the 200, about 50 of them carried the weight. And that was an evangelistic outreach with the unadulterated pure gospel preached to as many people as we could get to come out that God would allow us to bring out. And the overwhelming majority of churches didn't have time. And they're not baptizing anybody, and nobody's, and hardly anybody's getting saved. And this apathy that's taken over the church. And I told you, this is my year number 15 of me dealing with this. And every once in a while, I'm just like, all right, Lord, I'm out of here. And I want to look down my sanctimonious judgmental nose at all of them. But in this case, what you're hearing is absolutely justifiable. So I'm not being rude, and I'm not being judgmental, and I'm not being just a big jerk who can sit up here on the radio show and pontificate down to local pastors who I know you have a difficult job. You have a difficult life. You wear a lot of hats. But let's go back. Let's say that your church is meeting in 1940 in Germany. And you get wind of what's happening. And so when the cattle cars are going by on the train tracks and the Jews are on their off to the death camps, what do you just sing louder? Because that's what they did. Because they didn't want to hear the moans and the groans. They didn't want to hear the train because they knew the train was full of Jews going to the death camps where they would be herded like cattle and slaughtered like cattle. Experimented on, ripped the gold out of their mouths, do all that kind of satanic, demonic stuff that the Nazis did, and then just kill them. We don't want to deal with that. No, that's just, you know what? We got a building to build. We got some new stuff to put in. We don't want to upset the people coming to church. We don't want to freak them out. We don't want to upset them. So we just don't want to go there. You know, but we're pro-life. There's a quote that's attributed to Francis Schaeffer. Josh Kappas, who's with Love Life here in North Carolina, is going to call in the next segment so I don't spontaneously explode. But he's going to call in the next segment. There was a quote he attributed to Francis Schaeffer. I've been trying to find it. But in front of every abortion clinic should be a sign. And the sign should say, babies killed here weekly, courtesy of the local church. Now you sit on that one for a while. Because this has all happened on our watch. And again, this is my third time seeing the movie. I got to watch it again tomorrow night. I'll see it again next weekend. And it is wrecking me. But I need to be wrecked. And you need to be wrecked. And if you're a pastor listening to the sound of my voice right now, you definitely need to be wrecked. And you need to do something with it after that. Josh Kappas with Love Life will help take some of this off my shoulders. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just ranting and rolling and rocking from last night, unplanned. We had another screening last night and some really powerful stuff there. I'm going to get to my buddy Josh Kappas here in a minute, but I just want you to hear a couple of things that came out of people's mouths last night that were there. There was a practicing OBGYN doctor, and I just asked people to kind of share their responses and stuff, and then it's kind of like the radio show. Once you get the first couple people going, then a bunch of people are willing to talk. So practicing OBGYN, she said, listen, this is my deal. This is what I do. Not an abortionist, but OBGYN. She goes, that was real. Everything you saw, that was done so accurately in terms of how an operating type room works. That's what she said. Somebody else said, we got to look at all the victims, not just the baby. Exactly right. Somebody else said, definitely thought it deserved an R. You go see a movie where there's a lot of violence. It's different then because you know it's fake. But this one, why it's so difficult? Because you know it's true. My buddy Bob Tustin, who works with the Crisis Pregnancy Network all over the country, Human Coalition, he said afterwards, you know what? We need to make sure we're praying for the workers of all these pregnancy care centers. When these women do leave Planned Parenthood to come to them, they are swimming in death every day. Every Wednesday, my own wife's swimming in death as she meets with women, most of whom are abortion-minded. And oftentimes, somebody told me this last night as well. It might have been Josh. I don't remember who said this, but a lot of these women at the crisis pregnancy centers, they're the last one to see that baby alive that wants the baby to live. The next person to see that baby alive is the abortionist who then kills it. So you're the last one waving to the Jew on the train car as they go down the tracks to the death camp. That's easy to handle. Somebody else said important for the church to voice support for people who choose life. What a great point. I'm going to ask, Josh will be on in a second. It's how you got pregnant is in most of these cases is sinful. Being pregnant is not a sin in and of itself. Every child is a blessing from the Lord, right? Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. How you got there absolutely can be sinful. But once you're pregnant, you're a mom, that's a child made in the image of God, and then it's divine, okay? We need to treat them like that, even if they got themselves there in a sinful fashion. We need to be a city of refuge. Every church should be. One lady spoke up. It's the first time she ever shared publicly about her abortion. She had an abortion when she was 19. She was there with her 16-year-old daughter. She said, if I had this information back then, if I had seen a movie like this back then, I wouldn't have killed my child. I wouldn't have had an abortionist kill my child, which is the reality of what she did. There's another guy who spoke up. This happened in, I think this happened in Charlotte, too, on Monday night. A man who had several abortions in the past admitted it to family and a few friends, but last night was the first time he'd ever spoken publicly about it. After he saw the movie, after he saw Unplanned opening nationwide on March 29th, the next Friday. They said there's such healing in this movie. He was in the waiting room, just like that, like in the movie, when they took his girlfriend away, and I sat there in that cloud of horrible deception, is what he said last night. I've known for a long time that I have forgiven, but tonight there was healing. So you see, God is at work. I mentioned this last night and the other day on the air. It's like the Henry Blackaby study, Experiencing God, where you see God at work, that's your invitation to join him. And if you blow that off, that's on you. Are we having fun yet? So that guy last night, but tonight there was healing. Awesome. 165 pastor invites went out. 8 showed up. Shame on you. And that's why, and Josh, well, let me just get Josh on the air. Hold on. All right, Josh, try to take a little pressure off, bro. I've been kind of blown up here for the last 20 minutes. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Ticked off. But other than that, praise the Lord. He's on his throne, and everything will be fine in the end. But thank you for calling in. You were there last night. You represented the issues so well, and there on behalf of Love Life, which is all over North Carolina. God's using it so passionately and powerfully. But I've just been mentioning, you know, I personally invited about 165 pastors there last night. We had 8 show up, which is remarkably disappointing, but not a shock. And that's a big part of the problem. You mentioned that Francis Schaeffer quote. So let's start there. And then I want to talk about, you brought up kind of a Holocaust survivor. But let's start with the Francis Schaeffer thing and go from there and just have a few minutes and get your reaction to the movie.
Yeah, so the quote from Francis Schaeffer is, every abortion clinic should have a sign on the front of it that says, open by permission of the local church. And that really is the reality. We are in the condition that we are in as a country because we've essentially bought into the language, the lies, and have just hidden our heads in the sand and have allowed things to become the way that they are.
Yeah, and you've been a pastor for years and got involved and being involved with Love Life and showing up in an abortion clinic changed everything for you, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I said we. You know, I included myself in that a little over a year ago, but probably in the same boat. And the Lord graciously intervened in my life, went to a preview for pastors, and the Lord broke my heart. But it wasn't really the tragic truth of what's happening. But it's the vision and the mission that the Lord gave Justin to really say, church, this is something we can do. This is practical, tangible things that we can do to show up at these clinics and then ongoing get in the ditch with these families and love them well and really shift the culture. Instead of waiting for politicians to shift culture, we can do it. We have the opportunity to do that. And so it's happening, Steve. I know we all would love to see it happen faster. But around the nation, people are telling us, they're commenting, they're seeing what is taking place in North Carolina with the churches that are rising up. And those Davids, those pastors, those watchmen on the wall, we're so grateful for them.
Amen. And last night you mentioned something about some Holocaust survivors, which is an incredibly profound thing to bring up.
Yes. Well, Justin said today, he said, watching this Unplanned movie is like watching Schindler's List in 1943. We watch Schindler's List now, we look back in history, but we essentially watched Schindler's List last night while this is happening. We got walked into a gas chamber. while this is taking place. And so, you know, to walk out of there and do nothing, it can't happen. So with Miss Eva, you know, she is a Holocaust survivor. She told us, you know, you could hear church bells in the background while they were in the death camp. She would watch Christians walk on their way to church, sometimes with tears in their eyes, but they never did anything. No one ever, there was a remnant there, but they never really did anything. And she said, you know, if just a few people would have laid their lives down on the tracks as we were being hauled off to the death camp, they would have been demonized and run over. But if thousands would have shown up, it would have shifted the culture. It would have changed things. And Lord willing, that's what we are seeing. That's what we're going to continue to see as the church is being awakened. And I believe the Unplanned Movie is going to be an instrument that God can use to continue to wake people up.
Yeah, and we saw that last night as both a man and a woman came out for the first time publicly to share their abortion history, and I believe we'll continue to see that, and that'll be happening in the theaters everywhere that people show up, and that's why it's so important. It's one another piece of the puzzle. It's another piece of what God is doing in the midst of what's happening in New York, and we light up the One World Trade Center in pink because we're so excited that we just codified into law a woman's quote-unquote right to have her child eliminated right up to the point of delivery, and this is blossoming now, all at the right time. And it's in God's timing. We have to realize that we're all Esther right now. We're all here for such a time as this. Seeing Schindler's List in 1943. What a powerful point. Josh Kappas with Love Life. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Steve.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody, we'll be back with my good buddy Dave Jones to talk about something really important that churches, we all need to work on. First-time guests, first-time visitors. How do we get to them? How do we bring them back? We'll be right back.
Let's try it all together.
Switching gears now, and I was just out in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's why I wasn't doing the show on Friday or Monday. So I was out there visiting my mother and my sister, Kathy, and her husband moved out there. Awesome city. I'd never been there before. So cool. So my mother is trying to, my dad went to be with the Lord last year in September, so my mother moved there in October and has been going to different churches trying to find a new church home, which is about as easy as finding an awesome spouse. So she's going to different churches. And the one thing that she's really, that her number one thing to gauge the church, whether she wants to go back there, is does anybody come talk to me? You walk in, and she doesn't go to big mega churches. She goes to smaller community churches. And she said several churches that she visited, she walked in, nobody said anything. She sat in the service, and she left. And that was it. And my parents, because they grew up in that culture where you're in churches where they have the first-time visitors card, right? So they fill that out, and you would like to think in the next day or two, that you hear something, but she heard nothing. So there was no engagement, no follow-up from her visit on the spot or within a couple of days. And she's filling out the traditional, like we do in the Protestant church, we fill out that visitor's information card and nothing. And then finally, the church that she settled on, which I went to with her on Sunday, I wasn't in my seat for 15 seconds. And this really sweet older lady came up to us and introduced herself and asked us our names and wanted to find out everything. And my mother had been there before. And it was just awesome, but rare. So I know it sounds a little bit like it's like beat up the church day here on the Steve Noble show. But Dave Jones, my buddy, is here. TheJourneyProject.co, not .com, .co. We've got a lot of different things out there on the web. But if you've ever been to my website, if you think I have a cool show logo, if you like the branding of the show and the website and think it looks awesome, that's because of Dave Jones. And M is Good, his business, which works with a lot of ministries. But today we're here to talk about The Journey Project, which deals with this whole issue of first-time visitors and follow-up and trying to pull people into the body of Christ through love and investment, which is what we're supposed to be doing anyway. How are you, buddy? Welcome
to
the show.
It's awesome. It's hard for me to take credit for all your branding and marketing because, you know, my team is pretty awesome.
They are awesome.
And so I don't want to take credit for that because, you know, I got a awesome team behind me.
Yeah, you're not the only dude there.
Yeah, if it was me, it would not look the way it was, that's for sure.
Yeah, so Dave and I have been friends for years and a big supporter on the show. He's been on the show before because we've talked about things like FCA and dealing with hockey players, and Dave deals with professional hockey players, then little guys. Both his sons are hockey players. Dave's a hockey player himself. Mm-hmm. You played Semi-pro, pro ball?
Yeah, semi-pro in Europe.
In Europe. Yeah, yeah. And so Dave and I do a lot of ministry things together, and really excited about this. First time you told me about the Journey Project, I was like, okay, this is a no-brainer. So right. I told my story about my mother. What's the story behind the Journey Project? What is it? Just give us a 101 real quick, and then how did you get to this point?
Yeah, so the Journey Project is the first-ever connection messenger designed specifically for first-time guests. So as you were saying earlier, this card, you know, some of the marketing is going out is, you know, in the next coming days. This is kind of the official marketing kickoff,
yeah,
this
awesome
interview right here. So, you know, when's the last time you ever saw a millennial with a paper and pen?
I got one on the other side
of the glass.
But he's technically not a millennial.
He's
16, and he works in this show, so he's an exceptional young person. He's not the norm.
He's got two phones and two computers in front of him.
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah, so this idea of a Connect card, connecting with people, you know, fill out something where a pen doesn't work, you know, and, you know, trying to get it before the bucket gets passed, and then, you know, that gets passed to the end of the row, and then that all gets into a bigger bucket, and on Monday morning you send out a generic email to the first-time guest. If they fill out all the information, that email goes out on Wednesday or Thursday. That's just not how the world is working on two levels. One, we want information now. We want follow-up now. And the other situation is that, you know, the hero is no longer the organization. In the world of marketing engagement, the hero is the consumer.
Yeah.
Right? And the organization is their guide. And so that is happening right now. And this vision of the Journey Project came back in 2017 when I went to a hockey game.
I remember this because you were like texting me about this.
Yes, I was so fired up about this. So I was on the back row in Columbus. There's a card that says, how would you like to text to win this jersey? I text win to 9622. And then I have to give my first name, last name, and email. And then as soon as you get your email, they're like,
right.
All right, you got me. So I get an email within 3 minutes of, how would you like to upgrade your seat right now? And I thought, wow, this is cool. And it was a video of the seats that are available in the rink right now that I could purchase for, I think it was $21, that I could go make the purchase online
and then go
sit down in the seat.
So the video kind of showed you the perspective from that seat?
If I was sitting in that seat.
So you're going, wow.
I'm like,
the rink's a lot closer from that
wow,
seat.
Wow, that's really cool. And for $21, who wouldn't do it? You know, so I didn't do it, actually.
That's pretty awesome marketing, though.
Awesome. It was awesome.
That's smart.
I'm leaving. It was a great game. Leave the Coliseum. Going down the escalator. Remember, on the third level. And I get an email that says, thank you for joining the Columbus Blue Jackets. We're so glad you're here. Here's a highlight video of tonight's game.
Wow, that fast.
That fast. Going down the escalator, I'm going, what in the world
That's
is
amazing.
Going on here? Like, this is incredible.
Yeah, totally.
Like, they're serving me up information. They're not asking me to join. They're giving me information that I want right now.
Yeah.
And they're engaging me with relevant content. They're serving me where I am at right now.
Yeah.
I came home back to North Carolina, and I made a call to the Carolina Hurricanes, buddy I have over there. And I just started talking about this technology. It wasn't an audible voice or anything like that, but I just heard this or had this feeling of, don't do it for them, do it for me. Mm. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? You know, and so that was in February 17, and you know, we launched the Journey Project last week.
Yeah, and so let's switch context.
Yes.
So that whole effect.
Yeah.
So, because you don't live in Columbus, Ohio. You live here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And just as a side note, I got saved in Columbus, Ohio, so God
did
bless
really?
Columbus, Ohio. Yes.
Yeah.
My wife and I
awesome
both did. So switch context. So somebody's coming to the church. Actually, somebody on Facebook Live, Dave Pruitt, who I think works with you, is just like, yeah, trying to fill out a Connect card in the dark 2 seconds before the next worship song goes. And so many people come and go. You don't even know they're there.
They don't even know you're there. And so what the Journey Project is, it's gauging you where you are at. Your first time guest, and it's asking you this simple questions of how you want to get involved in the ministry, and it's bringing you through that path. It's serving you up questions that you don't even know that you have, but putting you into a position where you want to serve, or you want to get more information. And then, you know, there's some technology on the back end where it's now giving you information about what you want. So if you're coming to church the first time, you're looking for children's ministry, let's say, it's gonna give you information through email campaign of the next several days of why the children's ministry is effective and what a good children's ministry should look like.
How does this start? How does the process start? So I go visit church XYZ. Yeah. I'm sitting there. I walk in. At what point am I engaging or getting into kind of the journey project?
Yeah, so it can come in a number of different ways. It's however the church wants to set it up, but it could be in a, you know, a card, or they can announce from stage. Right now, the most popular thing is they announce from stage saying, hey, if you're a first-time guest, we'd love to hear from you. Fill out the Connect card. So this would be, instead of saying the Connect card, it'd be text journey, or they could pick their keyword, whatever they want, text journey to 9622.
Because everybody, listen, I mean, I go to a large church, a multi-site large church, and every pastor I've seen, every church I've been in the last 5 to 10 years, when they say, okay, turn in your Bibles to, or turn them on, or I like to see the Word of God lighting up your faces. That's what my pastor says occasionally. So everybody's in there. Some people have a paper Bible, but most of us are looking at the Bible app. We have our phones in our hands anyway, don't we?
Well, yeah. So I was with the pastor last week, and he said, I guess we got to tell them to get out their phone. And I said, what? They already have their phone. They already have
it. Pull it out of your purse. Sorry, Pastor. Yeah. They're already looking.
They're already on it.
Their hands are on it.
They're on it. You know, whether they're Facebook or Bible app or whatever. They're already on it. That's why the Connect card is just dead. This paper and pen thing is dead. It's such a dinosaur. I mean, it's another good one is, you know, like the redesign. I got this text from a friend of mine who said, hey, we need to redesign our Connect card. And I said, redesign your Connect card is like polishing the brass on the Titanic.
Right. Why are you going to do that?
It's sinking.
I need to put new brakes on my buggy. What? Why do you have a buggy?
Why do you have? What
begs
are you
the question.
Doing? Yeah. So from the printing to the filling it out to the admin, like that now goes away. The beauty thing that I think is one of the advantages of the Journey Project is all that information as you're going through this goes to a live Google Doc. So all that information is being gathered right now.
Yeah, immediate.
Immediate, connecting to the CMS, the Lexio Fellowship One, whatever they're using is connecting in there as well.
All right, for people that aren't familiar with that, anytime somebody uses acronyms and stuff, I always stop them. So what's a CMS?
It's a church management software system.
So that's where you're managing all your people that are members, people that are attending regularly and then visitors and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, so you know, when you check your kids in the children's church, you know it's going to a system where they're noticing, where they're seeing that you're checking
okay,
in.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so but this is in the lane of this is engaging first-time guests where they are at and getting them to where they want to go.
Which is so gospel-driven. Because anybody that ever encountered Christ knew if they had any close-up interaction with him, and even when he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, everybody that encountered him up close or from a distance knew that he cared about him.
He spoke
to them.
Yes.
Which is the whole point of this.
Yes.
Is that you're here, we're going to recognize you, you have intrinsic, inestimable worth, and we love you and want to serve you with the gospel and with the love of Jesus Christ. So we have to do that well in order to engage people. That's why the Journey Project exists. We're here with Dave Jones. We'll be right back. Okay, since that's a little Dave Bowie music here on the Steve Noble Show, let me just wager something. We're talking to Dave Jones, my good friend, who's the founder of the Journey Project, thejourneyproject.co. This is an incredible engagement tool for churches to really grab first-time visitors, anybody visiting the church, and get them into the system to be communicating with them, finding out their needs, and serving them, you know, kind of like Jesus does. But I was just thinking, listen to David Bowie. If David Bowie showed up at somebody's church, I'm thinking somebody's probably going to engage him. Because people mostly over 40, know who David Bowie is. He's famous. But your average non-David Bowie person shows up to a church, and oftentimes, and I'm sure many of you have had this experience, you kind of fall through the cracks. Dave, you asked me a question on the break. Where's somewhere you can go and stand around for 90 minutes and nobody talks to you?
The only place I can think about is the church.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And a lot of churches, not every church, but most churches have that problem where, listen, I told you before we started on the show today that when I go to church, I'm not, even when I went to a smaller church, I wasn't sitting there thinking about visitors.
Right.
I was there to feed myself and hopefully my family's getting fed and to praise and worship and hear the word preached. But I wasn't thinking about visitors and that was just wrong. And as an institution, we struggle with this, which is what kind of brought about this vision for the Journey Project. So a visitor comes. I want people to understand kind of the nuts and bolts and the back and forth of what happens. They're there. Somebody from the pulpit, somebody mentions, hey, if you're a first time visitor, if you've come here before, We want to serve you. We want to engage you. And then text visit or whatever.
Visit, whatever.
To whatever number.
Yeah, VIP to this number.
Boom. So what happens next? So now we've got that information, which every church craves, of course, and they need, and we should be serving people this way anyway. But what happens next?
Well, according to George Barna, there's seven reasons why people come to church. So, you know, like, are they looking for a new church home? Did they just move? Are they want to get involved in children's ministry? Are they looking for great preaching and teaching? Do they want to serve the church? Do they want to have some community outreach? What do they want to do? Or do they just need prayer, somebody to pray for them? So the Journey Project walks you through that. And it seems incredibly simple. The back end is incredibly complex, but it's incredibly simple of engaging people in that way. And so from there, we've created a two-way dialogue now. We've created some level of engagement, and what I like to say that the at the very least that the Journey Project does is it increases the quality of the conversation.
Yeah, that's good.
So when you're following up, and or even the follow-up is interesting because now they're asking where they want to go to children's ministry. They're saying, hey, how do I get involved? Versus, hey, I got this email about the church on Thursday.
Right. Well, most churches, even if they're a smaller church, to kind of see how am I going to fit here. And what's going on, and can the church help me where I'm at in my life or my family or the age of my kids? That's daunting. I mean, how do you figure that out? It takes a lot of time, but this way, you're actually having that dialogue.
You're having a dialogue. You know, some of the follow-up process now that I've read from other bigger ministries is, even the small ones, is, you know, try to call them, try to email them, try to text them. My favorite one is send them a mug with the church logo on it.
There
okay,
you go.
That's a good one.
That'll
then,
work.
You ready for this one?
Add it to my other 500 mugs.
That too. And then on Monday, show up for brownies. Like, show up at somebody's house. Like,
right,
that's
right.
That's stalking. That's
most people in today's culture, we don't want that.
We don't do that
visitor thing anymore.
Yeah. The whole connection card system is so dead in the water of how we engage people now. And, you know, I'm so thankful that I caught that vision in Columbus of, wow, this hockey game, as it was, this NHL game, is engaging me where I want to be engaged, and it's delivering me great content. And so it felt like I was more involved than just going to a game.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many millions of people in America, and probably for sure throughout the world, that are looking for a journey and looking for a connection with God and a relationship with Jesus. And, you know, this is not the silver bullet, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction. Right.
Well,
there's still greeters. There's still all that.
And those are all important.
Those are all very important, and the follow up and all that.
But listen, we're also competing for people's time and attention,
mm-hmm.
and the whole world, the digital world, the marketplace is all competing for their attention and serving people relentlessly,
mm-hmm.
and coming after you. And we drop cookies on your computer, and we follow you around, mm-hmm. on all the websites. And the church doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we lose tons of people. Because I know you guys have done some beta testing of this. And you have some information here on the website.
Yeah.
Thejourneyproject.co is the website. So go there, not com, just thejourneyproject.co. 65% engagement, 65% of Journey Project people participate in the Journey Project, okay? 80% of visitor returns, and 85% of the people that come the third week become church members.
Pretty striking statistics.
That's striking.
We're having a conversation right now at the church out of Florida. They had 18,000 people in attendance, and they handed out Connect cards. So the cost of that, who knows?
Goodness, yeah.
And they said they got 250 back.
Wow.
So it's a 1.3% return. And my question is, okay, you got, praise God for those 250,
yeah.
but a 1.3% return. Now you have that in print format. Now you have to do what with it?
Data entry. Yeah,
and then how long is that going to take? Because that's not going to be Sunday. It's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. By Thursday, they don't even know that they went to the event. I mean, that's how fast things are going and what we're doing.
And people move on. They get the end of the day on Sunday, Monday morning. How was that church? That was all right.
Yep.
Because there's nothing out of the ordinary. And like my mother's experience, she goes from church to church, and nobody's really engaging her. So why would you come back there?
Why would you come back?
I wouldn't.
The area of engaging and messaging from the consumer going through the vetting to the purchase to the follow-up, this is what I call the power of thank you. It's when companies and organizations are doing it so well that they want to come back and they want to be a raving fan and they want to join the tribe or just purchase more product. is what's happening in the world of digital. And you're right. The time is the impressions that I'll give you an example back. When Obama was running for president, they said the amount of impressions that people are hit with per day is about 12,000 impressions a day. So people are buying for toilet paper, toothpaste, yeah. a mouthwash, deodorant, cat food, cat litter, all this. You know, it's about, I think it was about 7,000 impressions. We're up to 23,000 impressions a day.
Oh my
Everybody
goodness.
Wants our buying power.
Everybody.
The bounce rate from when Obama would give, now we can go back to Reagan on this. When Reagan gave a message, that message would resonate with the American people for about 7 days. When Obama was running the first time, it was 24 hours.
Wow.
And now with Trump, it's 2 hours.
And then it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Like, is so much data. And so the time to follow up on Wednesday and Thursday when somebody's there, it's just absurd.
So what are some of the questions that you're asking a first-time visitor, a first-time guest at a church? And then they engage the Journey Project because they just texted the word visitor or whatever it is to that church.
Yeah.
Tell us about the specific messages and back and forth that's going on.
It's really, you know, how do you want to get involved? You know, how do you see what did you come here for today? Did you come here for children's ministry? Did you come here for great preaching and teaching? If you click great preaching and teaching, then it's, okay, how would you like to get more information? Text, email, you know, how would you like to be followed up on? I mean, it's pretty simple. So now when they do follow up, you know, it's not a question of, hey, I saw you came to our church. It's, hey, I saw that you're interested in great teaching and preaching.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To say, it increases the quality.
Here's
of the
our product. Podcast. Here's our live thing.
Here's how you get more information. I'd like to introduce you to Steve Noble. Steve is, you know, our worship leader, and you know, we get you where you need to go. And so that's happening now.
That happens day of.
That happens day of.
That's Sunday or Saturday evening, whatever,
or whenever that engagement happens. So versus Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Right.
There are so many different problems that the Journey Project solves. You know, in one fell swoop. I mean, from printing the cards to putting from the admin team to putting the cards back in the back seat.
Oh my goodness, yeah, yeah.
Like, how many people have to do that?
So how are pastors and churches responding that have started to check it out?
Like I said, this is our first kind of line in the sand of marketing. I've been working the last 2 years on building it with alpha and beta testing. The response has been awesome. The response has been really, yes, we need to do this. Some of the hesitation has been, you know, this is changes our workflow.
Right.
So we know we have to do
it,
but
always,
how is this going to change, you know, how we do things and how is it going to speed up and who's going to be, you know, the administrator of this? It is, honestly, it's kind of the tip of the iceberg when it comes to messaging and engagement. Right now, I've always said this for years that, you know, the church is set up in rows. And, you know, when you're in a row, like you're in a movie, yeah. it's a one-way communication.
Right.
You know, when you're in circles, you know, when you have tables.
Right. Now we're engaging.
Now we're engaging. So, you know, this is, like I said, this isn't the silver bullet, but it's a step in the right direction. So once that engagement happens, who's engaging? How are we assimilating people into the proper place? You know, now it becomes a question of, is our back door bigger than our front door?
Yeah, wow.
You know, and so now what are we doing? So some of the conversations I've had is, okay, so when we set this up, the connection pastor, who is that again? Oh, wait, we don't have one.
Right, right.
Okay, so we got to get a connections pastor that can connect with people. Or what is the connection pastor doing right now? Because the follow-up with the first-time guest isn't there. It's an email.
Right, right. Exactly.
So, you know, they're doing other things besides actually connecting.
And how long does this conversation stay in place? Once they visit on a Sunday, how long is this conversation going to be in place? Up until the point they become a member? What's that work real
quick? You know, it's such a case-by-case situation that, you know, it's where people want to engage and how they want to engage. So once you're connecting on where they want to go, then, you know, it's really a collaborative effort. Yeah.
So all of us need to email, text, get the information to our pastors and just send
pastors
them to the website.
Pastors or admin team, yeah.
And
yeah,
just
there's
go
a
check
great
it out.
There's a great demo on the site.
Okay.
Journeyproject.co. Yep.
The journeyproject.co. Thejourneyproject.co. Increasing your church's efficiency. You got interaction. You're going deeper, faster. You're reaching people, serving them, and bringing them back into the church, which is the only place on the planet they can actually get their questions and their needs answered. Dave Jones, thanks so much for being here, bro. I appreciate
you.
Love you too. Yeah. Thank you. TheJourneyProject.co. Go there yourself, send it to your pastor, send it to your admin team, and let's go after people coming to our churches. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll talk to you again real soon.